Thank you, Rachel. That was awesome. Praise God. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. We are not doing the book of Philippians today, so we're going to do something a little different. God was speaking to me through this week. So Mark, we're going to read two passages of Scripture. It's Mark chapter 4, 35 to 41, and then we're going to read Mark 6, 47 to 52. The title of my message today is called A Tale of Two Storms. So these are two storms in the book of Mark. So Mark 4, 35 to 41, this is what it says. It says, on that day, when evening came, he said to them, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, hush, be still. And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? They became very much afraid and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? And then Mark 6, 47 to 52, a different storm. It says, and when it was evening, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Seeing them straining at the oars, for the wind was against them, at about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea, and he intended to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed that it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke with them and said to them, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind stopped, and they were utterly astonished, for they had not gained any insight from the incident of the loaves, but their heart was hardened. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you for who you are. God, we thank you for healing us. Lord, we thank you for Rachel's story, God. And Lord, it reminds us of how evil this world is, God. But it also reminds us of how great you are, Lord. God, you are a good, good father. God, and you as a good father want good things for your children. The enemy comes to rob, kill, and destroy. Lord, but Jesus, you came that we might have life and have it abundantly, God. And Lord, and we feel the warfare around us, Lord. There's the evil of the world and the goodness of God. Lord, at constantly at war with each other. Lord, we as your people, we choose your goodness, God. We choose to follow you. We choose to trust you, God. Lord, even, Lord, when it seems sometimes you're not very trustworthy, Lord, that's faith. And so would you teach us, God, to live by faith. Lord, especially in a world that is so uncertain, especially when there are so many storms that come our way, Lord, we ask you to help us, God. Lord, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not to convey your words, God, but convey your heart. Lord, we thank you in this house, God. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. I want you to repeat this after me, okay? So, I'll say the phrase, there's a few of them. Say, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't always know what to do. Go ahead. I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't have all the answers. I'm a follower of Jesus, but I don't always know what's going to happen. The last one, I'm a follower of Jesus, but sometimes I get scared. We live in a world that is so uncertain. The last few years have been more incredibly so. It seems that as a staff, as a leader of this church, as we're trying to organize our weekend meetings and all different outreaches and these things, there is so much uncertainty. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if we can do this or we can do that. Or we haven't had food in church in ages. And I've been asking my staff every week, when can we eat? When can we eat? And we're waiting for the government to respond to us. Some of you guys may have heard at least some good news. But starting next Sunday, you don't have to sign in anymore. Trust me, our welcome team is even happier than you guys. You can just come to church. And even if you forget your phone, it's okay. Like nowadays, you can't do anything without your phone. Makes you think that maybe Apple and Samsung made up COVID, you know? And stuff. It's just, they didn't, all right? I don't want to start another strange conspiracy theory. But it's just, there's so many things. And I've seen people so fearful. I mean, as I shared before, I was so surprised of how scared people were. I was talking to an old church member, and we're just, because, you know, I know their parent, I know their family. We're talking about their family, and he just told me, it's like, the parents just don't leave the house. They haven't left the house in 3 years. And just trying to, I was just talking to this brother, and I was just trying to encourage him in the midst of this time, because it's just so wrong. A follower of God should not be living their lives like that. But we live in such fear. We live in such an uncertain time. There's a newspaper publisher sent a telegram to this very famous astronomer. And this reporter wanted a statement. It's of The Wire. Collect immediately 500 words on whether there is life on Mars. And the astronaut dutifully wrote back, and he basically wrote, nobody knows, 250 times. This is the uncertainty, right? 250 times 2 is 500, just in case you guys can catch that one. But this is a time that we live in. Nobody knows. No one knows the future. I've been talking to some of our people that work in finance and, you know, some that are in crypto and just getting killed left and right. We don't know what tomorrow brings. We don't know what's going to happen. And I would say that globally, as a world, it seems like this time, this season that we're living in, seems even more perilous than other times. I don't know. I had a conversation with RT this week, and we're just, you know, talking about different things, and you know, he is convinced that Jesus is coming back soon. I mean, just convinced. And we're all supposed to be convinced as well, you know, as Christians. But like, he was like, really? And I was just yeah, of course he's coming back soon. But just looking at the world and the fear that's roaming around and the uncertainty of everything around us, the storms that are happening left and right, and coming back and looking at, the only answer is Jesus. It's only Jesus. We're living in very, very uncertain times. So many things are up in the air. Our jobs, our futures, our economy, the health of COVID and all these things that are going on, everything is so uncertain. It makes me think of this. I will always be uncertain. I can be certain of it. See, uncertainty is not an indication of poor leadership. It's not. Sometimes it is, but oftentimes it's not. Uncertainty is sometimes not an indication of poor choice. Sometimes it is, but many times it's not. Uncertainty is what life is. Life is uncertain. Storms will happen in our lives. Sometimes these storms are caused by us. We create our own storms. But sometimes storms just happen to us. Here is a quote by John Wesley. Wesley says this, and he says, when I was young, I was sure of everything. In a few years, having been mistaken 1,000 times, I was not half so sure of most things as I was before At present, I'm hardly sure of anything but what God has revealed to me. Wesley is a wise, wise man. And he can point to the Lord because one thing we know, God is not uncertain. In James 1:17, he says, every good thing and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is not variation or shifting shadow. In other words, our God doesn't change. He doesn't change by the winds. He doesn't change by the seasons. He is steady. Our God is always certain. And the reality is, God shows up. This is probably one of the things I've learned the most in my life. In the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of fear, in the midst of storms, that's when God really, really shows up. I became a Christian in 1992, April 1992. And then in May of 1992, when school was out, I came to Hong Kong. Hong Kong, China. We were supposed to go to the Philippines, but we ended up not making it out there. And I ended up staying. It was actually a five-week trip. It was a basketball outreach. So we played basketball all over Hong Kong. We played for a week and a half all over China, basically playing with some professional teams, some junior national teams, some national teams. And then we would just try to witness to them. And then I actually ended up staying another 5 weeks because I also played volleyball. And so I did two sports that summer. And I fell in love with this city. I mean, absolutely fell in love with this city. I went back to uni, finished my senior year, and just my spiritual life, my Christian life was just fantastic. I mean, you know, I was going to like four Bible studies a week, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday we had events, Sunday, and I was just so enraptured by the Christian community. I was growing like crazy. I was reading His Word. God was just showing me a lot of different things, and it was just a really wonderful season of my life. I graduated from university with a business degree, but I decided that I wanted to go into ministry. In fact, I wanted to do missions. I wanted to do sports missions. And so in 93 of that summer, I end up coming back to Hong Kong with the intention of actually living and staying here. I actually had a job set up, and I was going to be one of the coaches at HKIS. I can do a couple different sports, so I can do that. And then I was going to play somewhat kind of a semi-pro ball. And then I was going to serve with YWAM, with the sports ministries. And that was going to be my thing, and these are going to be the avenues by which I could stay here in Hong Kong. And everything was set. I mean, things were moving along, but a few storms start happening. First of all, the first storm was the ministry that I was already asked to lead and be a part of, Youth of the Mission. The requirement was you need to go and do what they call a DTS, a discipleship training school. And so it should have been a no-brainer. So I applied to DTS. You know what happened? I got rejected. It was unbelievable. You know, actually, back then, I didn't really take it as a storm. I was like, okay, I guess they do that, because I heard they pray over all the applications, and then God speaks to them. And so, you know, I didn't really get rejected. It's just not my time yet. But you know what? I became very bitter later on towards YWAM, because I became a youth pastor. And when I was a youth pastor, we had students that were Christian, I don't know. But they were like drug addicts. They were gang members. And as a last resort, their parents, they applied to DTS, and they got in. And here I was, a Christian, pretty faithful guy, wanted to serve, and I got rejected. And you can notice I started getting bitter at YWAM. Don't worry, that lasted a very short time. In fact, this is a great story. I was with Lauren Cunningham, who was the founder of YWAM. And apparently this story has been going through some rounds through the community. You know, here in Hong Kong, and you know, oh, Pastor Sam, he got rejected by YWAM, and so he heard about this story somehow. And so I was in actually in Kona with him. We spent 2 weeks with him, and we're talking. And out of the blue, this is why Lauren is such a man of God. And he came to me and he said, "Sam, you should not be like have any kind of hard feelings towards YWAM, you know, because you got rejected." And I said, "Lauren, I don't have any hard feelings. It all worked out great." And then he said, he's the most gracious man. And he says, "You know, the reality is you were too big for YWAM." And I was like, "Huh?" Right? It's a lie, okay? It's not true, but it just shows the humility of Lauren, right? Just an incredible man of God. And so I get rejected, you know, by YWAM. And then all of a sudden the school, they said that, you know, they won't be able to give me a visa, and all these things. And then on top of that, you know what ends up happening is I was actually playing volleyball, and I slipped on some water, and my knee, my leg came out, my whole weight of my body landed on my knee, and my ACL just popped. My ACL, my meniscus, I did like three things to my left knee, and then, you know, I went to go see the doctor, I had to have surgery. It was a huge storm. You know, something for me that I thought was very certain, Lord, I was going to do this, I was going to serve you, all of a sudden became uncertain. And then storms started coming my way. Everything was working out in my Christian life until this moment. I ended up going back. I had surgery here in Hong Kong, Queen Elizabeth Hospital. I went back. The worst flight, can you imagine? It was literally a day after my surgery. I'm flying back to L.A., and the stewardesses, they try to help me out, but they put all these pillows in front of my leg so my leg could be straight. It was a horrible flight, and I end up going back. I don't know what to do. I have no job. I have no home because my parents are about to leave for the mission field. I have no money. I mean, I have nothing, and I just have this huge storm and this huge bum leg, and all my dreams of being an athlete and all these things just go down the drain. But you know what? It was the best thing that ever happened in my life. God just started bringing people my way. I ended up going to my university, my old athletic trainer, you know, during my playing days at school. And I come in just, you know, I'm in my crutches, and I walk in, "Hey, how you doing?" And, "Hey, what happened to you?" "Oh, I got hurt, da-da-da." And he says, "So what are you doing for that?" "Nothing. I have no money. I can't see any doctors. I can't see anything." And he says, "Why don't you come? I'll take care of you." And so he did my rehab for free, probably the best rehab that you can get, actually, you know, at the university, even though I was no longer a student or an athlete there. And then just one after another, God started doing different things in my life. And you realize that, man, especially in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of storms, that's when God really, really comes through. That's when God really, really shows himself. You know, that storm was actually the beginning of my ministry. I often think about that. In fact, obviously, because I was preaching this message, I was thinking about it a lot during this past week. And you know the reality? I think I would have been a great sports minister. I really do. I think that I would have been... it would have been fun and all these things, and I believe that. But you know what? I wouldn't be your pastor today, right? I wouldn't be here. SP would probably not be here. And then SP Hong Kong, SP Korea, SP Tokyo, SP Beijing, SP Singapore, SP New York, SP Shanghai, right? It probably wouldn't exist. I mean, it would have looked differently, but you realize, wow, God moves in storms. There's something about that. He just seems to show up, especially in those times of uncertainty. He shows up especially in those storms that are in our life. See, the reality is we, every single one of us, we are part of a story. It's our story, but it's also God's story. Today, Rachel shared a powerful story. Rachel, that's your story, but it's also a part of God's big story for every single one of us. You have to understand, God's story is linear. It continues to go forward. It doesn't move in cycles in this way. I mean, God repeats and does certain things, but it's a story. Think about this. If you're reading a book, and as you're reading the book, you get to a chapter that becomes difficult, do you stop reading the book? No. You continue on. You finish it. In that same way, when God is writing a chapter of our lives, and it's a difficult chapter, don't give up. Because God is still writing this story. It's His story. It's a story of redemption. It's a story of His grace. And I want you to know, and let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Your story has a great ending. Turn to your neighbor. Say, hey, good looking. Say, your story has a great ending. There's great beginnings. There's great middle parts. Sometimes there's some difficult parts, but I want you to know your story has a great, great ending. Jeremiah 29, 11 to 13. This is what he says. And remember, these are people, the Israelites, that are about to go into captivity. They're basically going to be slaves. And this is what the prophet spoke. God spoke through the prophet. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." He says, I have a plan for your life, and it's a good plan. It's to make you prosperous. It's for your welfare. It's not a bad thing. We may encounter certain bad things, but God's plan is not a bad thing. It's not for calamity. It's to actually give us a future and a hope. And so I just ask a simple question. What do we need to do to thrive in uncertain times? What do we need to do when you're in the midst of a storm? And I just have a few simple points for us. Number one, what do we need? We need clarity. We need clarity. It's okay to be uncertain. It's not okay to be unclear. We need clarity. See, sometimes those places of uncertainty clears the way for us to have some clarity. It opens the door in this way. When we go through difficult times, you know what we end up asking ourselves? What am I doing? How do I get in this mess? Why is this happening? I want you to know those are good questions. Because what it does, it brings us clarity. Maybe we're not doing the things that we are supposed to be doing. And thus, these things happen around us. Maybe, God, we forget why we're doing the things that we're doing. We lost the purposefulness of what we're doing. And so now we're just going through the motions of these things. And so, this is what God does. We ask the question, what has God called you to do? Yesterday, I was hanging out with some of my softball buddies, and I was taking a brother home afterwards. He's a brother on my team. He's not a believer, and we're talking about different things. And the way, obviously, not a believer, so I didn't ask him what has God called you to, but I asked him a different way. I says, what gives you joy, in what you're doing, and over the course of a 20-minute ride, we basically got to this part. It's like, what's your original vision? What is it? And the storm in his life is causing him to ask these very pertinent questions. And think as a result of bringing clarity into his life. And he's recognizing that what he's doing is not what he's meant to do. And maybe what you're doing right now is not what you're meant to do. And maybe that's why there's a storm that's happening. There's so much uncertainty. To the promised land, now he's died. And so Joshua takes up the command, and then we'll read verse 10 and 11. It says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the midst of the camp. Command the people, saying, prepare yourselves or prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you are to cross this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess it.'" See, this is new leadership after Moses dies. The Israelites, they were used to wandering. This is all they did. Every single day, every single week, they set up camp, they lived, they picked up camp, they moved, and set up camp, lived, picked up camp. And that was their whole life, one thing after another. And so after a while, they were so good at camping. They were so good at pitching tents. You know what I mean? They were so good at just wandering. And you get like that. We get lost sometimes in this way. We become so good at what we're doing, we forget the vision. The vision was to cross the Jordan into their home, into their promised land. And they forgot how to do that. They forgot. They were wandering. But now they had to go to war. And so they come back. Well, what was the original vision? Imagine after 40 years of wandering, what was the original vision? It was to cross the Jordan, to take the land. All they had to do was cross the Jordan. And now they come to this place. See, sometimes uncertainty and these storms that it produces helps us to go back to the original vision. They had to do what God had told them to do and depend on him for what they couldn't do. I'll read that again. They had to do what God had told them and to depend on him to do what they couldn't do. In that same way, brothers and sisters, we need to do what God has told us to do and to depend on him to do what we can't do. This is my old seminary professor, Dr. Charles Kraft. I'll never forget this. He said, "Without him, we can't. But without us, he won't. Without him, we can't. But without us, he won't." And when we come to these times, let God give you clarity. Retreat to the vision. Retreat to the vision. When you go through difficult times, retreat to the vision. Retreat to what God has called you to do. Sometimes you need to take that bold step. You need to pack up your stuff, and you need to cross the river. You need to cross the Jordan. All right, again, they became good at packing, not very good at crossing. But it took this storm. It took this time of Moses dying. It took 40 years of wandering for them to come back. Oh, yeah, that's right. We're not here to go camping. We're here to find our home. And they finally cross that Jordan. Brothers and sisters, what is that Jordan River for you? What is it that you need to retreat back to in that vision that we forgot? And then ask God for the boldness to cross that river. Number two, what do you need? You also need flexibility. You need to be flexible. Plans change, but the vision remains the same. Plans change even more so in times of uncertainty. Especially, I think, honestly, the last few years through COVID, I think we became experts in being flexible. Like, you wake up one morning and all of a sudden the EDB says, "No more school." Wow, thank you very much so. You know? And then you adjust. And you think, oh, yeah, they said, oh, yeah, it's going to be 2 weeks. Ends up being 4 months. I'm not bitter. I know I sound bitter. I'm not bitter. It's just, it is what it is. But we've had to be flexible. We've all received PhDs in flexibility. you've received a PhD, just even for church, just every Sunday. And do you remember way back in the days? I mean, it was just crazy. Do you remember early on? Remember, we had to have church in my living room, right? Actually, in our dining room. And Pastor Kenny and Pastor Nate would come over, three-man team, and Pastor Kenny actually broke one of my chairs. Thanks, man. I am bitter about that. I still remember that. And it's just, think about just, we had to be, it's in times of uncertainty, when there's storms coming, you have to learn to be flexible. If you don't, you will not survive. You will not survive. But again, plans may change, but the vision remains the same. Jim Collins, some of you guys have read his book, From Good to Great. And in the book, he's talking to Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart and Sam's Club and these things. And they were talking about his leadership and his leadership style. And this is what he wrote about Walmart and Sam Walton's leadership. He says, no decision was sacred, but the vision never changed. The plans changed all the time. The way they got there changed all the time, but the vision never changed. In that flexibility that you have, it's important that the vision doesn't change. That, again, going back to the place of clarity, and then we move into that vision. But you got to be flexible. You got to be flexible. The path may be very, very different, but the vision will not change. I mean, I just think about, you know, for my own life, I've had so many different job titles. I've done so many different things, even in terms of ministry. There's so many different avenues of ministry and different things that I did. And for the longest time, I thought, okay, I'm going to do this the rest of my life. I was a youth pastor, and I was one of those guys, and I used to say, man, you know, I'm gonna die as a youth pastor. I love this so much. I'm gonna be a youth pastor for the rest of my life. And I used to also look at other guys that were, you know, did youth ministry, and then they moved into college ministry, and then they did adult ministry. And I thought, oh, those guys are losers, man. You know, I'm not gonna be like that. I'm a lifer, you know. But sure enough, you know what happened? Then I went to college ministry, and then I went into young adult ministry, and it just continues on and on. And so your job titles, it'll change all the time. It'll change in so many different ways. I've had so many different ones, but yet the vision remains the same. And my vision was always, or the vision that God had given to me, is to build his house, is to build his church. And in the beginning, it was through sports. You know, then it was through preaching, you know, just kind of itinerant and, you know, preaching revivals and these type of things. And it was in different ministries, but the vision was still the same. So learn to be flexible. Learn to be able to change course quickly, but yet at the same time, don't ever lose your vision in that way. And the last thing that you need in a storm, that you need in times of uncertainty, is prayer. Is prayer. We need to learn to pray in these times. Sometimes the only option that you have in a storm is to cry out to the Lord. Oh God! Help me. That's all we can say many times, because we're crying out to a God who wants to answer his people. Think about it this way. Salvation, you being saved, took the uncertainty, or took out the uncertainty of our eternity. Your eternity is set. Now, we need to retreat into prayer and into his grace. So let's go back to that Mark passage. I think God is trying to tell us through these two passages. The disciples, they're caught in two different storms. And we see different ways that God answers. One time, God answers and he speaks to the storm. He speaks to the problem and he says, be quiet! And then it's done. Another time, he actually just gets into the boat, and then that quiets the storm, and it brings calm. In other words, sometimes he addresses the problem head on, and it's done. That's great when that happens. And other times, what happens is we invite him into the boat, and just his mere presence calms everything around us. Sometimes we become afraid. And like I said, we're followers of Christ, but sometimes we get scared. I mean, let's be honest. That's who we are as a people of God. Sometimes we become afraid. And then sometimes we accuse God of not caring. Can you imagine the disciples in the boat? This is in the first passage. Jesus, I mean, it's insane. Jesus is sleeping during one of the worst storms that these seasoned fishermen have ever come across. And they just think, don't you care about us? Don't you see what we're going through? Lord, we're about to die. And you're literally taking a nap. What is going on? And I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of accusing God of these things. I'm guilty of blaming God. Lord, don't you care about me? Don't you know what I'm going through? And then by his grace, he wakes up. He speaks to the storm. And he changes our circumstances instantly. His calm comes. We love that. The other storm, sometimes our life is like the other storm. Sometimes, remember those guys are straining. They're in a storm, but they're trying to do it themselves. They're straining. They're not getting anywhere. Can you imagine just rowing and rowing and rowing, just not getting anywhere? And Jesus sees that. So he draws close to the boat. And these guys are rowing and rowing, just not making any progress whatsoever. And so Jesus walks by. I just love that passage. He just nonchalantly walks by. On the water. Okay? On the water. I mean, this is the heart of God. He sees the people straining. And so, I need to get to where these guys are at. So he walks on water, gets near the boat. And then the passage tells us that he was intending just to go by them. You know what I mean? It kind of reminds you of the passage in the book of Luke. Remember when these guys are on the road to Emmaus, you know, Cleopas and his friend, and they get to the fork in the road? And remember it says in the passage, it says, and Jesus acted as if he would go farther. Jesus didn't want to go farther. Jesus didn't want to keep walking to the other side. Jesus wanted to be in the boat. Jesus wanted to be with us. But what did it require? It required an invitation. Jesus wants us to say, Lord, help me, please. Lord, help, get into my boat. We do this. We're so individualistic. We do our own thing. We try to do it our own way. And then Jesus, by his grace, walks by. And you're like, oh yeah, Jesus, please, come in. We ask him to come into our situation, and by his mere presence, the storm is calmed. It's a tale of two storms. I want to look at it in a different way, though. I just want to have a little different perspective. And if you allow me some levity to give an interpretation. Is that okay? Is that all right? All right? Don't call me a heretic or anything like that. But just I want to look at this, and I want to look at the first storm, and the way that I want to see this is really a message to the Christians. The second storm is a message to the non-Christians. And so we just think about this. The first story is about those who follow Christ, and yet there are storms that come our way, and we get very, very fearful, And that's the effect that happens. Sometimes, as believers, we think that God is not so interested in what we're going through. Just like he's asleep. Or he doesn't care about what's happening around us. Like I said, many times I've accused him of these things. But he does care. But we forget that he's in our boat with us. We forget that if Jesus is calm, I should be calm. I mean, it's something else if Jesus is freaking out. You know what I mean? Like, whoa, we're gonna die. We're gonna die. No, but he doesn't do that. He's just chill. No matter what is going on in his way, the Lord is calm, cool, and collected. That's why I follow him. He's a leader that I can trust. He's a leader that doesn't get frazzled. He's a leader that knows where he's going. And so I want to follow him wherever he leads me. And so we forget that his presence in our boat changes everything. And we realize that actually I should also be in rest. Why am I freaking out? I love, I think it was last week we sang that song. You know, why do you worry? And I know many of you were sitting there singing that song and you're like, that's a good question. Why am I worried? My God is not worried. So why am I worried? Oh, what a great song. It's so perfect, right? You know, I'm so worried. Why am I worried? You're not worried. So why am I worried? It says, imagine these disciples, they should have that same effect. I'm freaking out. Why am I freaking out? God's not freaking out. I should not be freaking out. It's this like simple equation that begins to take place in our lives. Brothers and sisters, no matter what storm you're in right now, Jesus is with you. He's sleeping. It doesn't mean he doesn't care. It doesn't mean that he's unaware of what you're going through. You know what it means? It means that he's at perfect peace, that he's got it figured out. You know what I mean? I mean, he's got it planned. For me, I usually don't like to go to sleep until I finish something. Like, especially if I'm working on a message or something, a sermon, like, I'll go to rest when I feel like it's done in that way. And so I learn a lot about what Jesus is doing here. He's sleeping because it's done. It's taken care of. He's in the boat with us. That means everything, absolutely everything. And listen, yes, we do wonder, Lord, do you even care? Don't you know what's going on around us? Don't mistake his sleep for not caring. Don't mistake his sleep for not being aware of what you're going through. He is intimately aware, but he's at rest, and he wants you to be at rest as well. The Bible says, will you even gain one cubit of your day by your worrying? In other words, it benefits you nothing at all. That's for the believers, whatever you're going through. I think the second story is those who are not yet following Christ. You're trying to live this life. I mean, think about it. As a Christian perspective, God is the creator of this world. He created life. And he tells us how to live this life and a way to live this life that is fruitful and beneficial. In that same way, I always use this illustration. You know, the smartphone, the mobile phone that you have, the manufacturer created that phone to be used in a certain way. When you use it in that way, it brings the maximum benefit to you. Now, if you were to take that mobile phone and use it as a frisbee, you could do that if you want, but it'll probably break. Or if we end up playing volleyball later this afternoon and use the phone as a volleyball, someone bumps it, sets it, and spikes it. That's not really the intent of the maker of the phone. You can do that, but it won't benefit you at all. That phone will not benefit you. You can say that about a lot of different things. In that same way, God created life. He gave life to every single one of us. And he designed life in a certain way for it to be lived. And when you live it like that, it brings the maximum benefit into our lives. And so, in other words, it's like the disciples, the men that are straining, they're just living life, going through life, but getting nowhere. That's exactly how I felt before I gave my life to the Lord. We try to live this life that was created by God in our own way, and finding our efforts are quite futile, especially in the midst of the storm. It works out okay when everything's calm. We can actually get somewhere. But when a storm comes, it doesn't do us, that rowing doesn't do any of us any good. But there's good news, because Jesus is walking by. He sees you straining. He sees your life. And he walks by. And this is all he wants, is an invitation. He wants for you to say, hey, I don't understand you completely. I don't know all that's going on. But you know what? Can you come into my boat? And can you lead me? And can you teach me? That's faith. That's the kind of life that many of us in this room signed up for. Jesus walks by, and all he asks, the journey starts with an invitation. And you know, the great thing is when you do that, when you invite him into your boat, his mere presence will calm the storms of your life. I'm not saying that your life, all the circumstances around you will change drastically. Sometimes it will. And many times it does, to be honest. But all those things coming deep inside of you, you'll find this calm, this joy, as we talked about last week, this joy unspeakable that comes in our lives. And he causes the storms to calm in our hearts. Friends, God wants to answer your prayers. Whatever situation that you're in, he wants to be your refuge and your strength. Let me close with this. Invite the team to come. Psalm 46:1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And let's close our eyes. If you're a follower of Jesus in this room and you're going through something, ask him to help you. He's in the boat with you. He's mindful of what's happening around you. Remember that and ask him for your help. Disciples asked him and he calmed that storm. Remember, he's with you. He says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Sometimes we forget that he is with us. Just ask. For others here that may be new to Christianity or church, and this is all very new to you, I want to invite you to invite him into your boat. Invite him into your life. He's walking by. I guarantee when you do that, he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. And you will learn more and more of who God is. You don't have to have all the answers now. In fact, even we who have followed him for a long time don't have all the answers. But we trust in the one that who does. And that means everything. And so as the worship team leads us in a song, I just want to invite you, whatever situation that you're in, to call out to the Lord for help.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust. Sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus. sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Let's sing verse 1 again.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Can I invite us to rise to our feet and we're going to sing this together as a church? But I want to invite you, we can just close our eyes. If you just simply want to invite Him into your boat, maybe you've never heard about God or never really had a relationship with God, just heard about Jesus, and you just want to just take that first step. It's a simple step that says, Lord, just step into my boat. I just want you to be part of my life. And then we can go from there. I want to invite you into that time. The Lord is walking by you right now. Just say, Lord, just step into my boat. That's really all it takes. I'm sure a friend brought you to church today, or someone brought you, so you can talk to them and start that journey. But if that's where you're at, I just want to lead you in a prayer, in a simple prayer, just before we sing. And so if you're here and you say, hey, Pastor Sam, that sounds reasonable, I think I can start that journey, I'll just invite him into my boat. That's how it'll start. If that's where you're at, you know, all the eyes are closed, no one can see but me, can I just invite you just to lift your hand to the Lord and say, that's me, I don't mind doing that today. Or maybe you've been coming to church for a while, but you've never really given your life to the Lord, and you want to say, you know what, I want to step in that boat. I'm just going to lead you in the most simple prayer. Just simply say this. Say, Jesus, please step into my boat. I want to have a relationship with you. Lead me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we sing together?
My hope is built on nothing. Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Veils his lovely face. I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand.
His covenant, his blood.
His oath, his covenant.
Father, we thank you, God. We thank you that no matter what storm, no matter how uncertain the times around us, how perilous it may be, you are always there. You never change. And you're full of love and mercy and grace. Your heart, God, is to bless your children, your people. We are your children, God. So would you come and do a deep work in our lives? Forgive us, God, when we've accused you of not caring, of not being there. Lord, you are always there. And Lord, would you give us your peace? Help us to find that place of rest in a restless world. Thank you, God. And for our friends that made decisions today, lead them now, God. God, in the everlasting way. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you made a decision, please tell your friend about it and continue to run. If you need any prayer, come up, and our well ministers will pray for you. Have a wonderful day, and hopefully we'll see you guys at volleyball later. God bless you.